Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. Those of you that are on site, you can take a seat if you want. You can turn around and wave at somebody if you want and let them know that you are here. Just go ahead and wave. Those of you that are online, put a little wave in the chat because we're glad you're here too. Or just say good morning to each other, all of that kind of thing. And we're going to invite you to take a seat. Once you're seated, if you want to, you're welcome to remove your mask, and that's fine. When we're singing, when we're standing, we ask you to put it on. But it's a good day here at Evangel, yes? Should we do the 1, 2, 3? I just feel like the rain has gotten some of you a little bit, I don't know, it's raining. You know, I saw a headline this morning going by. I was looking on Twitter and I saw a headline that said, it literally said, it's a miserable day in Montreal. And I thought, excuse me? It's not a miserable day. Rain is just another pattern of weather. It's just a thing that God has done in our world. And it's a good day, right? Some of you need to say it out loud. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. It's a... Yes, it is. It's a fantastic day. I'm so glad to be at church, with our church, together with you this morning. It's really good. We're going to take a look at God's Word this morning. We're going to cover a lot of Scripture today. I want you to know that if you are a person that likes to follow along on a screen or you like to take your own notes, you can look in the Evangel app and you will see there some of the notes from today and the Scriptures that we're looking at. You can even enter your own notes right in there. And if you don't have the app, just go into the App Store and search Evangel Montreal and you can find that and download it. And then you can join together with us. So we've been doing, have a deep breath. Okay, here we go. We've been doing this series on the church. How many have been tracking with us for at least part of this series? Just raise your hand so I know you're there. Okay, more people on this side than this side. So this side, you're going to have a little catching up to do, okay? But we've been doing this series on the church because we thought, you know, after 19 months or a lifetime or whatever it's been of a pandemic and most of us joining in church from home, online, why do we need to gather again? Why does it matter? We thought, let's just talk about that a little bit. Talk about what it is and why we're here, why we're coming together. So week one, I gave you this statement about it, that we accepted a temporarily deficient ecclesiology, which is just a big word for the study of the church, that we accepted that in the emergency for the sake of the mission, that because of the crisis that we were in with the pandemic and all of that, that we laid down our rights, we laid down our preferences, we gave up, you know, all of that, and we said we want to do what's good for our community and what's good for our world because it's part of our faith to love our neighbors. And so we did that, but we started talking about now we need to remember that is a bit deficient. And why the gathering matters, why it matters for us to be back together as much as possible on site. And then week two, we said, well, we can't really talk about the church and why the church is important unless we understand the whole idea of the kingdom of God. We said, Jesus' good news, what he said to us when he came to earth, he said, the good news is the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here, that there's a presence of God in the world, and we get to live as citizens of that kingdom. And we talked about what that means and how it's connected to the idea of a local church gathering. And then last week, week three, we got super practical. And we said, listen, you know, I told you about, you know, me setting off my fire alarm in my house and then the dog ran down the hall and ran out into the parking lot in the rain. And then I was, did anybody remember that story? Okay. And then at the end of that, one of my neighbors said, what do you do when you gather and why do you do it? So we just walked through all the segments of this, of a Sunday morning worship gathering, why we do it, what it means, how it points to the kingdom of God. So that's 3 weeks that we're in so far. And now we're on week four. How many are tracking with me so far? You're good? You're good? Again, this side, you guys need a little caffeine or something, right? I don't know. I'm just saying. Today is week four, and we're gonna talk today about how we function together, how we relate together as a community of faith. And so that's what I want to talk about. Now, as you know, each Sunday morning, of course you know this because of course you pay attention to everything that we say. And so you know that after Sunday morning, every week we have a group called 3Q. three questions. We call that our 3Q cohort. And right now we have one group that meets online on a Zoom call, and we have one group that meets right here on site. And they do the same thing. It's a conversation around three questions that we've designed to help you, to help all of us respond to what has just been said in the Sunday morning message. And it gives us a chance to talk to each other and also learn each other's names. And so I lead the online group. I'm part of that. And so if those of you that are on site, if you wonder where it is that I disappear to as soon as the service is over, I'm gone running the online group because that's my chance to connect with the people online. If you're here early on site, I connect with you before the service starts. So, and then Pastor Rob and Pastor Tim usually lead the on-site group right here. So I don't get to be part of that because I'm not omnipresent. But they told me some of the conversation that happened in the on-site 3Q group last week. Some of you that were sitting right here, oh, they told me some of the things that were said. And one person in the conversation, remember we last week talked about all the segments of the service, and one person in the on-site group had a whole lot of good to say about Evangel, so that's encouraging. And they're a person that's maybe a bit newer to Evangel, depending on how you define new. They started with us about a year before the pandemic, but then, you know, the pandemic's been an eternity long. And they made a comment in that on-site 3Q group. That comment was sent to me, and it was so meaningful. I tweeted it because it was this comment, and it wasn't that, you know, Evangel is successful or Evangel is unique or Evangel, you know, pastor has great shoes. It was none of that. It was this comment. They said, Evangel is a healthy church. It's a healthy church. Now, to the person who said that, I just want you to know those words were gold for me. It was so encouraging to me because healthy means we've got good patterns, means we're on a good road. We don't have toxicity or unhealthy power struggle, unhealthy power structures, all of that kind of thing, you know. And that just meant the world to me. And by the way, I think that's true. I think we are working awfully hard to make sure that we are a healthy church. And that involves more than just what happens here on the platform or on the screen on Sunday mornings, okay? It's more than that. Sunday's not the end game anymore. We've been saying that. And so I want to look at a scripture. We're going to look at a bunch today. And the first one I'm going to show you, you're going to go, you showed us that already. Yep, I did. I show it to you repeatedly because I think it's important for us to soak it in and imagine it because we live in a society here in Canada that is so hyper-individualistic. We are so hyper-individualistic. We barely understand the importance of community and the importance of relationships and the importance of togetherness as part of our faith. But the early Christians, the first ones, they deeply valued community and togetherness. I mean, they deeply valued it. So look at what this says in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were what? Together. Oh, this side got it. This side, you missed it. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They even sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Look, I'm just saying. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's such an incredible picture, if you imagine it. They're such deep relationships. They met in the temple, and then they met in homes, and then they ate together, and they shared resources together, and they looked after each other. And I am very careful to say that the book of Acts is the story of what happened. And you can't always say that the story of what happened is therefore prescriptive of what should happen. You gotta be careful walking that line. But throughout the Bible, from beginning to end, Old Testament, New Testament, you see over and over again that God has a people, not just persons. There are people, it's plural. There is a faith community, and that is emphasized all the way through Scripture, beginning to end. And the early Christians were no exception. Look at this other scripture, just a few chapters later in Acts chapter 4. It's again a description. All the believers were one in heart and mind. What? No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, get this, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. I mean, what? Those early Christians, they valued their community of faith so deeply that they shared and they cared for each other in really practical ways. There's just this deep value for the community of faith, or we sometimes call it the body of Christ, the Bible calls it. And it's not just this vague feeling of, you know, conscious connectedness in the whatever. They knew each other's needs and they helped each other. I mean, just let that sink in just a little bit. That's not even the sermon today, but just like let that sink in a little bit. It's probably going to raise all kinds of questions and thoughts in your minds, like, okay, but what about personal responsibility, right? And what about accountability? And what about those who sold their house in order to give? Where did they live then? What happened after that? I mean, those are good questions. We should wrestle with those questions sometimes. Think about them. I have those questions too. And I'm not going to, you know, give you a call today and say, everybody sell your house. I'm not going to do that, okay? Although the prices are good right now. I'm not going to do that. But I am saying there's this deep, deep value and commitment to the togetherness of the church family. That's what we see in the book of Acts. And it was real, and it was visible, and it was concrete, and it was practical. There's probably a lesson in there for us today, okay? And somebody's going to say to me, well, Pastor Patty, it was different back then because they were all, you know, probably the same people group, the same culture. They all just got along really well. So it was easy. No, it wasn't. No. On the day of Pentecost that happened, you know, in Acts chapter 2, there was this new inclusivity that happened when all of these languages were spoken, and it became clear that all cultures and all ethnicities were welcome to become followers of Jesus. They were welcome in the family of God. And like the rest of the New Testament, much of it is them trying to figure out how that works. Because it was such a big change for them. I mean, you're talking about it had been, you know, a group of basically the same culture of people, Jewish people, and a little bit of differences between them. But basically, and now you've just added in all these people that aren't Jewish, that are Gentile, and everything's changing because they had different rules and different traditions about holiness, what that looked like, about cleanliness, what that looked like, about eating and what food you could eat and what you couldn't, and eating together. I mean, they didn't eat together before the day of Pentecost, before this happened. And I am entirely certain that that early church, those early churches had some seriously awkward moments where they were looking at each other going, what are you doing? Right? It'd be like, just imagine if somebody walked in here on site on Sunday morning and we didn't know them and they just picked up a chair and turned it around backwards and faced backwards the whole service. We would all be like, what's happening? Right? That's not, I don't know. It would be so, like, it was awkward. There were awkward moments. And so Scott McKnight, in his book Fellowship of Differences, this is how he describes it. He goes, do you think these folks agreed on everything? Was life together hard? That's the whole point of what it means to be a church. The Christian life is not just about how I'm doing as an individual, but it's about how we are doing as a church and how and what I am doing in that mix of others called the church. Okay? And then the same author, Scott McKnight, he emphasizes how important it is that we get it right, which is what we keep saying every week. We got to get it right. Get our community and our relationships and our togetherness. Let's get it right. This is what he says. Getting the church right is so important. The church, you ready? The church is God's world-changing social experiment of bringing unlikes and difference to the table to share life with one another as a new kind of family. And when this happens, we show the world what love and justice and peace and reconciliation and life together are designed by God to be. And here comes my favorite sentence. You ready? The church is God's show and tell for the world to see how God wants us to live as a family. That's what the church is. God's show and tell for the world to see how God wants us to live as a family. That's huge. Now I could do a whole series on this. I'm not gonna. I thought, you know what, let's do a really simple exercise this morning and let's go through what I call some of the one another scriptures, okay? One another scriptures. Turn the person beside you and go, one another scriptures. One another scriptures. That's what we're doing right now. If you're online, you feel free to put that in the chat. One another scriptures. These are the scriptures in the New Testament where the phrase one another appears, okay? Because we often think of the teachings and the instructions in scripture, we think of them as very individual, how I should live, what my priorities should be as a citizen of the kingdom of God. But every time we see the phrase one another, we remember, oh yeah, it's not just about me. It's about the church family. It's about a community of faith. These letters, the New Testament, is not written to individuals alone. It's to a community. It's assumed. It's a given. And it's normal, okay? Now, of course, it started with Jesus. He said in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new command I give you. What does it say? Love one another. You should get used to doing this. We're going to do this through the whole morning, okay? Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What an astonishing thing to say. If I was Jesus, which I'm not, but if I was, I might have said, people will know you are my followers if you help out those who are poor. Or people will know you are my followers if you experience miracles. Or if you talk about Jesus a lot. Or if you pray and hear direction from God. That's what I would have said. And those all are important parts of our faith sometimes. But what Jesus said was, people will know you're my followers if you love one another. It's pretty straightforward, non-negotiable command. And by the way, love in the way that Jesus loved us, sacrificially, faithfully, generously, patiently, you know. It's a core part of being a follower of Jesus, loving and valuing the people who are part of our church family. Okay, so Jesus started it. And then we go on to the rest of the New Testament. We look at Romans chapter 12, verse 10, which says, be devoted, okay, be devoted, say it with me, to one another in love. And then honor one another above yourselves. One commentary that I read said, you know, really you could just translate that as outdo one another in showing honor. Like have a little competition of who can show the most honor to each other. And I don't even know. I mean, you think about what does that look like? What does a world look like where we're just trying so hard? We're just completely devoted to one another and we're honoring one another above ourselves. I have a hard time even imagining what that looks like. But in a world where so many of us are focused on, you know, pointing out what's wrong with each other ever so nicely, or correcting each other. How many hate the word actually, right? Actually, let me correct you on what you just said. Or gossiping about each other. You know, I heard. I don't want to say. I mean, in a world that's full of that, a group of people that are devoted to each other, that are committed to each other, that are determined to honor each other without any agenda, without any politics, without any manipulation. I mean, I think that might be quite startling to the rest of the world to see, don't you? Okay, let's look at another scripture. This one's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. This is a fun one, okay? Greet one another with a holy kiss. I can't believe she's reading that scripture in church on Sunday morning. Okay. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay. Confession time. It wasn't until I moved to Montreal that I ever greeted anybody with a kiss. Okay. I'm an Ontario girl. We do not kiss. We shake hands, right? If we're really close, we'll give a little hug. And it took a little getting used to when Jeff and I moved here, which, by the way, was almost exactly 6 years ago. When we moved here, and all of a sudden, complete strangers are just kissing us. And we're like, okay, this is happening. And now, I miss it. I miss giving you all cheek kisses and hugs and everything else. And you know, I don't care. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do that again. That's fine. Look, I don't care how we greet each other, okay? I did a dance down one of these rows this morning, just turning, going elbow bump, elbow bump, elbow. I don't care how we greet each other. You can fist bump, you could do elbows, you could do a, you know, virtual hug, you could do whatever. You can wave from 6 feet away. Some of you before the pandemic were, you know, lift me off my feet huggers. And I'm just going to be honest with you and tell you, I'd prefer to keep my feet on the ground. I'm just saying, when we get back to that. But there is this assumption in Scripture of a friendly greeting, of talking to each other, not just filing into church or signing in online, hoping nobody sees us, and then leaving again. And you go, but I'm an introvert, Pastor Patty. I know, so am I. And I see your complaints on social media. Oh, I do. All of them. Social media is full of introverts who say repeatedly how much they hate it in a service when somebody like me goes, turn to your neighbor and say, why do they make us do that? I hate that. I don't want to talk to anybody. And I get it. I do. I'm an introvert too. Truly I am. But I'm a follower of Jesus first. And although I guarantee you, I am never, ever, ever going to be the life of your party. That's never going to happen. That's why I married Jeff. That's his role. I'm never going to be that person. But I am going to try to get past my own shyness and my own introvertness to at least greet the people around me in church on Sunday morning. Because they're family. We're family. I'm going to make you do it. Turn the person next to you and go, we're family. And one of you right out loud just went, oh, that's fine. We'll take it. We'll call that a friendly greeting, okay? Okay, here, let's look at another scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18 says, encourage, what does it say? Encourage one another with these words. Now, the context of this scripture, I'll just give it to you quickly. There were some Christians that were, they were afraid because some followers of Jesus had died. And they were like, Jesus didn't come back before they died. So what happens to Christians who have died? And Paul is writing them this letter. And he's reminding them that there's a much bigger picture than what we see now. Then he's reminding them, Jesus rose from the dead. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we also have life after death. And Jesus is coming back. And then he says, encourage one another with these words. encourage one another with these words. We need to remind each other in real life and whatever form we can find. We need to remind each other of the truths of our faith, of the things that we believe. We need to build each other up. And I don't care if you do it by text or by email or you pick up a phone. Some people still do that. I know it sounds crazy. Pick up a phone and actually talk to somebody. But just, you know, things like, hey, listen, I'm just reminding you today that you matter to God and I'm so glad I'm part of God's family with you. Or sending somebody a message that says, you know, God's going to provide for your needs. Or sending somebody an email that says, listen, don't forget, God said he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We need to encourage each other with these words. Now, you know who's really good at this? I'm going to show my bias here. I'm going to show favoritism, okay? You know who's really, really, really good at this? Our senior citizens. That's right. Senior citizens, and some of you are in the room right now, and I just give props to you because you have walked it out. You have walked this path of faith for a long time, and these are not just phrases to you or little scripture verses. You have lived through answers to prayer. And you have seen God's faithfulness in your own lives. And it's why, in my opinion, you that are senior citizens, and you can self-define that how you want, but you have been the most resilient group of people in the pandemic. You're the ones that when we call you or we talk to you, you go, don't worry, Pastor, we're fine. God is good. I talked to one of you last week and you told me I'm 82 years old and you don't look a day over 60. And you said you've been at home. You don't even have internet. And you're like, but I'm fine. God is so good. I thank God for the seniors who encourage the rest of us. I thank God. If we will take the time to listen to our senior citizens, I am telling you they are going to pour life into you. And I thank God that this church is multi-generational because we desperately need spiritual parents and spiritual grandparents in local churches because we need you to lead the way in encouraging one another. Is that okay that I showed my favoritism there? Okay, that's right. That's right. Okay. Okay, the next one's fun. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Don't you love the little bit on the end there? The one without grumbling. I mean, I guess we can have people over in our home if we have to. I mean, I'm just saying, I hope they help with the dishes. That's all I'm saying, right? Listen, I've been that person. Hospitality does not come naturally to me. It genuinely doesn't, although I'm a lot more open now than I used to be. But offering hospitality means lowering boundaries. It means letting someone into my life. It means, for me anyway, it means not making an idol out of privacy. It means welcoming people to be part of our families and to sit at our tables so that nobody's left out. Before the pandemic, and actually a bit before the pandemic, Jeff and I were delighted to host a young adult connect group every Sunday night in our home. And they would arrive at about 6 o'clock every Sunday evening. And honestly, I'm just going to be honest with you right now. Around 4 or 5, not every Sunday, but many of those Sundays, around 4 or 5 in the afternoon, we'd go, oh, okay, all right. And really, we'd be like, I just want to turn on the TV and get in my pajamas and just veg, okay? I'm just confessing right now. But then the group would start arriving about 5:30 or 6, and we'd open the door, and we'd put the coffee on, and we'd make popcorn because it's a cheap snack that goes a long way. And we'd make cookies sometimes. And you know what? We had a blast. We got to know some really amazing young adults in our church family, and they got to know us a little bit, and it was good for us, and it strengthened our church family, and I'm looking forward to being able to do that or something like that again at some point. Meanwhile, right now at Evangel, we are halfway through our first ever hospitality cohort, and it's online. And it's a group of a dozen or so people, and we meet together once a week, and we're experimenting with hospitality, with our own neighbors, with the people that live around us and the people in our world. And we're learning, it is transforming and it's eye-opening what happens if we let people into our lives and into our homes. Practice hospitality without grumbling. Okay, here's another one. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And some of you, you just went, I don't like this one. We don't like this one. Nobody likes this one. We are so conditioned to fight for our own rights. We are so conditioned to fight for our own way and our own priorities and our own advancement. And we see a verse like this and we go, oh, I don't like that. Some of you have already gone, yeah, but in your head. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Yeah, but. And we become very quick to point out the potential for abuse, for victimization, when we misuse this idea of submission. And that is absolutely true. There's potential there, which is why the scripture does not just say submit. It says submit to one another. It goes both ways. And if it doesn't go two ways, we're doing it wrong and we need to talk. And it's out of reverence for Christ, who, if you recall, very clearly and firmly told us we need to love each other. Okay, and so you got to fit it into that context. If we are undermining each other and fighting each other, never out loud, we're Canadian, we're super polite, right? But we're politely just pushing back on each other all the time and undermining and pushing back and arguing, we are going to miss out on a vital part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You know, it's important for each of us to realize, and I'll just not make eye contact at this moment. I'll talk to my, it's important for us to realize we don't know everything. That each of us is not the boss of everything, and our way isn't the only way. And so we practice mutual submission and we practice mutual honor because of our reverence and our love for Jesus. We're still good? We're still okay? Yeah? Okay. Here's another one. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, which is just a repeat of Jesus' words, right? Love each other. But it's this addition of family language. And I know family can be difficult for some of us. Family, listen, family's hard sometimes. That's just true. But there's an important principle here, that followers of Jesus are not just a part of an organization. We are family, for better or for worse. And for some who are lacking family, or who are lacking good and loving family, we need to be family intentionally. Hello? And for those who have great family and don't feel the need for anyone else, we need to open up our family a little bit and open up our table a little bit and make room for those who don't have family. Okay? Jeff and I were so grateful when we first got here. We got to Quebec and realized we don't know a soul in this whole province. And we were so grateful when we first got here for friends who invited us in to be their family at Thanksgiving and at Christmas and at other times. And they didn't place any expectations on us. They just welcomed us in. And it meant the world because we didn't have family nearby. And we felt loved as family. Here's another one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says, be completely humble and gentle and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Because sometimes every single one of us is a little annoying. Okay? Turn to the person beside you and go, not you though. Okay, every single one of us sometimes is a little difficult, a little bit high maintenance, every single one of us at times is a little bit pushy, little bit passive aggressive, a little bit, I'll just let you fill in the blank, okay? And there are days when we're just bearing with one another, okay? And we're putting up with one another, but we're doing it patiently and with humility and with gentleness and with love. It's not this detached tolerance that says, well, I guess you have the right to exist. Not that. It's this loving, gentle, humble, patient, bearing with one another in love. It's pretty practical. I mean, that's pretty real life right there. And then finally, this last scripture I want to show you, it's in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 7. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. We're following Jesus' example in our church relationships, in our community. Jesus was God and didn't pull that card. You never see a point where Jesus goes, you know what, Peter and James, you're really getting on my nerves. And I don't want to pull the God card right now, but I could use a hot cup of tea and some peace and quiet right now. You don't see Jesus ever doing that. He served. He mentored. He gave up sleep for them. He prayed. He answered questions sometimes more than once. He showed the way and he acted like a servant to those around him. And we are to do the same in our relationships with each other. Okay, tune in. Ready? Here we go. When the church community genuinely behaves and functions like this, it points to the existence of the kingdom of God. When we function like this, we become a sign. We become a signpost. We point to the kingdom of God here because we are showing people who are living by a different set of priorities and a different set of values, people who are living as citizens of God's kingdom, of God's world. And that's why at this church, we have this vision statement that says we're an inside out church, do good, love each other, reveal Jesus. Loving each other is a big piece of who we are, and it's a big piece of revealing Jesus to our world. Okay? There's a fantastic book out there called Good News, Good Works by Ron Sider. Can I just tell you how he words this? Because it's so much better than how I could do it. This is what he says. When the church truly models what it preaches, when it genuinely breaks through the sinful barriers of racism and class prejudice and oppression, then its very existence has a powerful influence on the larger society. And then he goes on and he talks about the astonishing evangelistic impact that was part of the common life of the early church. And this is what he says. He's actually quoting someone else, but this is what it says. These Christians, the early Christians, the early church, these Christians embraced all the colors, all the classes, and all the untouchables of ancient society. Their caring for each other in need became proverbial in antiquity. When people saw how these Christians loved one another, they listened to the message of Jesus. Okay, and here comes the mic drop moment. Unless the fellowship in the Christian assembly is far superior to that which can be found anywhere else in society, then Christians can talk about the transforming love and power of Jesus until they are hoarse, but people are not going to listen. Should I maybe read that again? Unless the fellowship in the Christian assembly is far superior to that which can be found anywhere else in society, then Christians can talk about the transforming love and power of Jesus until they are hoarse. But people are not going to listen. So what does this mean for us? After 19 months of a pandemic with chairs between us and masks on our faces and some of us online and tuning in. Listen, we have people at Evangel now who have joined us during the pandemic. And if you have not been yet back on site, you haven't even met them. People like Andrew and Sarah Jane, whose birthday it is today, and Michelle and Dominic, you haven't even met them yet, and they're here. You should come back on site if you're able and get to know some new members of our local church family. I'm just saying. But let's start here in a church like Evangel. You're not going to know everybody. I don't even know everybody. The only person that knows almost everybody is Pastor Pauline, and that's because I'm pretty sure she's an angel from heaven with special gifts. And she's our connections and membership pastor, and she knows more people than anybody, I think. But even she doesn't know everybody. So you're not going to know everybody. But how about this? Everybody should know somebody. Everybody should know somebody. And it's harder to know people if your only connection is this moment, Sunday mornings, on-site or online, but not actually connecting or talking with anybody, okay? If you're not coming on-site, you're not meeting people. If you're not joining one of our cohorts where we talk and we learn names, you're not meeting people and you're not going to know anybody. And everybody should know somebody. And I say this every Sunday, so please hear me say, I understand that there are those of you that cannot come on site on Sunday morning. My husband is one of them. Jeff is one of them. His work schedule doesn't allow it. But he's part of our online hospitality experiment. And he joins in there in conversation, pops his head into the screen with comments and conversation. And he's connecting with people. Listen, it's just awfully hard to be part of the one another of a faith community if you don't know anybody at all. So you're not going to know everybody, but everybody should know somebody. Let's start there, okay? Let me pray. So God, in this moment, we just pause at just that, let's start there and go, I need to know somebody. I need to be connected somehow with somebody in this local church. And for some of us, that's maybe a new thought, or we're suddenly realizing we've lost connection and we've lost touch. God, in this moment, would you remind us and put a desire in us again for connection in the church family? Help us to start figuring out again what all the one another-isms mean and how they work in our world and in our life, so that we can be a church that loves each other so much we reveal Jesus. Help us to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, would you give me one more minute? Before I hand you off, if you've been here, you know I'm going to hand you off in a moment to Adrian. He's going to give us an information update. And as always, he's going to tell you the ways to give. And I just need to let you know something as our church family. Okay, this is separate. It's different. Our reality is that usually through the year, we have patterns of giving, ups and downs through the year. And we plan around that. And August is often tight, but it usually rebounds in September and October. And I'm just telling you, as my church family right now, that has not happened this year. And our general fund is really, really in need, truly. And I think it's important for you as a church family to know that, because we all carry the load and we're all part of what God is doing here. So God is always faithful. I have no doubt of that. And some of the seniors will tell me that at the end of this service. God is always faithful. But usually his faithfulness is through his people, as we steward and manage what God has given to us and use it for God's purposes. Giving is part of our faith. And so you know, unless it's your first Sunday, it's a rare day that I emphasize the offering like this. But the need is significant right now in our general fund. And I wanted to be open about that with you and ask you to consider giving today or giving a little more today if you're able to when that information comes up. Is that okay that I said that? I think it's important we know. Adrian, would you give us an update on what's happening at Evangel this week?
Hey, Evangel, we're so glad to have you here with us today. And just before we wrap things up, we've got a couple of reminders for you. So here we go. Our first reminder is that this coming week is the end of daylight savings time, which means that on Saturday night, we'll be getting an extra hour of sleep. We're letting you know in advance just so that you can adjust any alarm clocks that you have that you need to adjust. And then you can capitalize on that sweet extra hour of sleep and you can be ready to tune into our service at the right time. Our second reminder is for the parents in our congregation. Next week is also the official relaunch of our kids ministry on site. And so if you're a parent and you've been waiting for this moment, we're excited with you about this. The pre-registration forms are exactly the same as you would fill out to attend on site, except now they will have an option to secure a spot for your children. And just make sure to do that early because you do want to secure a spot. There is limited spacing and the pre-registration is required for your children as well. And so you just want to make sure to do that. But besides that, feel free to come. It's an amazing experience and we're excited about that. Third of all, and last but not least, is our three questions conversations. Don't forget about that. It's 10 minutes after the end of the service. All you have to do is find the meeting link on our info sheet. And also you can text three questions to the number on your screen for the password. It's on Zoom and we're excited to see you there. Come and join us. Financially speaking, everything that we do together as a church is funded by everything that we give together as a church. Our easiest way to give is on your screen right now. It's the text to give option, and you can find out more about the other ways of giving by visiting our info sheet either on the front page of our website or there's a link to it on the in the description down below. Feel free to follow us on our social media platforms at Evangel Montreal on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and on YouTube. Make sure to hit subscribe and make sure to hit that bell icon as well, just so that you know when we go live. We're here at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time every Sunday morning, and we are so glad that you can be here with us.
Thanks, Adrian, for all that information, and thank you for joining our online service today, talking about the church and why we gather and how to better love each other so that we can continue to serve in downtown Montreal and the surrounding area. We're so glad you joined us today. Let's just pause and pray as we close our service together. And let's just ask God to be with us this week, that we can go out into this community, into our neighborhoods and our workplace, and just love people and do good. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for meeting with us today and allowing us to hear about your church and to encourage us on why we gather and to do better at loving each other and developing community within the church, but also outside our walls. So Lord, as we go today and we leave this service, we ask that you would be with us, that you would lead us, that you would help us to do good, to love each other, and to reveal Jesus through our communities and through our love for each other. We thank you for this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.